Heavenly Father, we ask you to quicken our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit within us, that we might hear your voice and follow where you lead, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, good morning and God's peace to you all this morning. It is a special day in the life of the church today. Now, of course, in the world at large, on the national calendar, we're celebrating Father's Day, and so I want to say God bless you to all the fathers who are here this morning. I want to ask God's blessing on you and your ministry as a father. But on the church's calendar, today is a different day. Today is Trinity Sunday. It's one of the principal feasts of our church, and it always falls on the week after Pentecost. And here's why. Back on Easter Day, 57 days ago, we celebrated the fact that God the Father raised God the Son from the dead. And this past Sunday, on Pentecost, we celebrated the fact that God the Father and God the Son sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He appeared as flames of fire, tongues of fire on the heads of the apostles. And that was the beginning, the birthday of the church. And so today, Trinity Sunday, is sort of the capstone on those 50 days of Easter, from Easter to Pentecost, where we bring together these three threads of God's revelation of himself as a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, Trinity Sunday always comes around as we are making our way into summer and making our transition into summer. And so my mind, looking toward this week, was on the things of summer, and I happened to be thinking about the fact that when I pastored in the small town of Darlington, South Carolina, summer meant one thing. Summer meant church softball league. Now, when I arrived and the members of my parish saw how well I could swing a bat and throw a ball, they said, "Odell, we have a very important role for you on the team. We want you on the sidelines grilling hot dogs so that the fans don't get too hungry." But all kidding aside, the Summer Church Softball League brought churches together for some good-hearted fun and competition. And it got me to thinking, what if instead of a softball game, what if we hosted a friendly crosstown debate between us, the Trinitarians, and the Unitarians over on Archdale Street? Now, just use your imagination. Imagine the scene. What if over there in the West Cemetery, under the shade of the oaks, we set up two podiums? Perhaps the children could be serving up lemonade to keep all of the spectators refreshed and keep them from swooning in the heat. The Unitarian steps up to the podium and fires off his first salvo. The word Trinity doesn't even show up in the Bible. So why would you Trinitarians expect us to believe such a thing? And he sits down. Now, as your debate coach, I'm hoping that you will get up and say something along these lines. Right you are. Fair point. The word Trinity isn't there. But the New Testament is Trinitarian through and through. Consider the fact that all of Jesus' disciples were Jewish. And what is the bedrock of the Jewish faith? What is the one thing that sets the Jewish people apart from all of the pagan tribes around them? It's simple. It could be summarized in one short verse, Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One God. They are monotheists. So why then do we see these Jewish monotheists worshiping Jesus in Matthew 28? That would be blasphemy if Jesus were not God. And further still, why did Jesus himself, just a few verses onward, tell the disciples that they should go out and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? And why did the earliest Christian writers, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul, greet and bless their readers in the name of the Trinity? You're correct. The word Trinity is not in the text, but our Trinitarian God can be found all throughout the pages of the New Testament. Those first Christians, they didn't invent the Trinity. No, they encountered the Trinity. They saw the risen Jesus with their own two eyes. They received the Holy Spirit when he appeared as tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. They took to heart everything that Jesus had taught them about his unique relationship with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And all of this left them with no choice but to embrace God's revelation of himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is how I hope you would respond as your debate coach. Now, friends, I realize that this imaginary summer crosstown debate might seem a little bit far-fetched. And it might seem that such a debate would be full of abstract, technical, theological concepts. But friends, the Trinity is not just some abstract concept to be argued over in a debate. No, the fact of the Trinity has profound implications for how we live our daily lives. Our Trinitarian faith shapes the way that we pray. Our Trinitarian faith shapes the way that we understand ourselves. Our Trinitarian faith shapes what this community looks like and how we treat each other. And that's what I want to spend the rest of our time together this morning talking about here on this Trinity Sunday, our Trinitarian prayer, our Trinitarian identity, and our Trinitarian community. These three practical implications for our Trinitarian faith. First, as for how we pray. The classic form of Christian prayer is to the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's because it is God, our Father, our Creator, who stoops down to take us into his arms as his sons and daughters. And it is God, the Son, who made it possible for us to be adopted as God's children through his death on the cross for our sins. And it is God, the Holy Spirit, who gives us the courage to pray. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who helps us to trust and believe and to know that God delights in our prayers, that he is eager to hear from us. And you see, this is why classic Christian prayer is to the Father, through the Son, or in the name of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Friends, you experience the Trinity every time you pray the Lord's Prayer. You may not have realized that. It's your Father who gives you your daily bread. It is the Son who made it possible for you to be forgiven and received by the Father. And it is the inward power of the Holy Spirit who will strengthen you to overcome temptation and to be rescued from evil. The Trinity is there every time you pray the Lord's Prayer to the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, we have the freedom to pray to any one of the members of the Trinity. You don't ever have to worry about putting the right address on the outside of the envelope. The Trinity is very good at redirecting misaddressed mail. The Holy Spirit gets an envelope, opens it up, says to the Son, this was addressed to me, but I think you better handle this. But all kidding aside, don't miss the point. You can call out on any of the three. Sometimes Dad is who you need. Like when you're in a mess and you say, Father, help me. Will you please make a way for me? I need you. But sometimes who you need is your brother and Lord, Jesus, the Son of God, who knows what it's like to walk this earth. I often find that whenever I have a relationship that has begun to break down, I instinctively go to Jesus, my brother, the Son of God. Because if Jesus could mediate between me and God, then surely Jesus can make a way to try to reconcile a relationship. But sometimes Holy Spirit is who you need. As in, Holy Spirit of God, you've got to give me courage. My heart is melting like wax within me. Holy Spirit, show me the way. Holy Spirit, come and guide me. Holy Spirit, give me strength and power that I do not possess. So yes, classic Christian prayer is to the Father, through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you can reach out to any of the three. They're available to you 24/7. They're like that parent of a teenager who, in the middle of the night, is listening out for the sound of the doorway to open for their teenage child to come through that door and come home. That's what the Trinity is like, listening for your prayers, listening for you. So, friends, we experience the Trinity every time we pray. But our Trinitarian faith is also fundamental to understanding ourselves. What do I mean by that? Well, God's word teaches us that we are made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. And our God is three persons who are in perfect relationship with each other, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, throughout all eternity. Which means that we who are created in God's image are created for community. We cannot understand ourselves apart from the community of God. We can't. Our participation in this community is one of the primary ways that we reflect the fact that we are made in God's image. If I were to boil it down to a bumper sticker, the bumper sticker would say this: church ain't optional. We cannot be who we were made to be without participation in the body. We are made in the image of a triune God who is relationship. Now, this is easier for some of us than others. Some of us were brought into this world, we're created by God to be social creatures. And so we find this communal life of the Christian faith just to be like as natural as falling off a log. I mean, it's just, of course you'd want to be social. Of course you want to be in relationship. But for those of us who are a little bit more introverted, those of us who tend to be perhaps a little more task-oriented than relationship-oriented, this communal aspect of the Christian life, it can be a bit more challenging. From time to time, I teach a spiritual gifts workshop, and part of that workshop is giving participants several inventories that they take to try and bring to light how it is that God has made them, how has God wired them, as it were. And one of those inventories is designed to help them to determine, do they tend to be more task-oriented or people-oriented? And there's no right or wrong. We need both task-oriented people and people-oriented people. But one of the questions on that inventory, I think, is very insightful, and it asks this. It says, do you find it easier to be with people or to do things for people? Do you find it easier to be with people? Are you more people-oriented? Or do you find it easier to do things for people? Do you tend to be more task-oriented? So anyway, it's a fun little inventory. Well, why am I bringing this up? Because those of us who tend to be a little more task-oriented, those of us who like to get things done, check things off the list, and those of us who tend to be a little more introverted, perhaps, than extroverted, again, we might find it a little more challenging to enter fully into a community. We might find it more challenging to invest in and engage in relationships with other Christians, but we need to understand that this is fundamental to what it means to being made in the image of God. We were made for community. Church ain't optional. So friends, the Trinity shapes our prayer. The Trinity shapes our understanding of ourselves. And the Trinity is the pattern for our common life in this community. Now, if you happen to be the type, there's a few of us among us here this morning, if you happen to be the pondering type, you just like to ponder things, perhaps there might have been a time where you have pondered the Trinity and just wondered, what is the Trinity doing all day long, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it reminds me a bit of, it's a bit like dolphins. I mean, the Trinity is the greatest mystery of the Christian faith, next to the Incarnation. It's the greatest mystery. And so most of the time, there are things about the Trinity that we don't understand. Again, so going back to the dolphin image, it's like dolphins. Most of the time, who knows what dolphins are doing? You can't see them. They're under the water. But every now and then, they break up out of the water onto the surface. And you can kind of figure out what they're doing. They're feeding. They're playing. They're fending off a predator or an adversary. But it's only when they break up from the surface. And the Trinity is like that. Most of the time, we don't know all of the ins and outs of what the Trinity is doing. But every now and then, the Trinity breaks through in the Word of God. And what we discover is that what the Trinity is doing is it's in this constant dance of serving. The Son is serving the Father. The Father is glorifying the Son. The Holy Spirit is serving the Son. The Holy Spirit is serving the Father. The Father is lifting up the Spirit. It's this constant dance of serving one another. Now, that's not because one is over the other. The Son doesn't serve the Father because he's less than the Father. No, the Son serves the Father because he loves the Father. The Spirit loves the Son and the Father. The Father loves the Son and the Spirit. The Son loves the Father and they're constantly serving each other. Not being forced to, not being told to, but out of love for each other. And that is the pattern for our community. That's what we are supposed to look like, serving each other. Now, sometimes this happens in formal ways. Before you all arrived this morning, the Altar Guild was here serving for us, preparing this table for us so that we could enjoy the Lord's Supper. During the school year, there are those who are Sunday school teachers who go serve our children and care for them and plant the seeds of God in their hearts. There are formal ways, but sometimes it just happens informally. Picking up the phone to call someone who hasn't been here for a while. Staying after a church event and helping to clean up. So friends, I challenge you with this question. When is the last time you participated in an act of service in this community? Could be small and simple, could be formal, but that's what this community is to look like. The Trinity, serving each other, not out of compulsion, not out of guilt, but out of love for each other. The divine dance of the Trinity, willingly laying down our lives in service out of love. Friends, we worship a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let us reflect him in our prayers. Let us reflect him as we seek to understand ourselves, having been made in his image. And let us reflect him as we serve one another in this community by how we speak to each other and serve each other and treat each other, that the Holy Trinity of God would be glorified by the people of St. Philip's. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen.